question about it.
I won't fight you.
Do you have a question about that? How to pay?
Do, but I, terms and conditions are what's said.
Right.
That's it.
Okay, we're on.
Wrong.
Wrong. I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. Date is September the 15th, time is 2:06 PM. I believe we're on the air. Roll call.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Morris. Congresswoman Pratt.
That's you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congressman Shaw.
Here. Could be, I'd like to ask the clerk to see if she would say grace.
Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the rain that we've had this week. I just ask, Lord, that you would just bless this place. I pray, Father, that you would just pour your presence into this building right now, and that you would open all of our minds and our hearts and our ears, that we would hear your voice, and that you would give us the direction and the guidance that is needed to make the decisions that are best for this nation as a whole. Mm-hmm. Father, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please look at the minutes from the 14th. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
On the motion to exit executive session, we need to change it to six yays, because Congressman Tillman
arrived
at the meeting. I'm going to review through here and see if we have any more. Also, on motion to postpone, we've got motion to adjourn for that.
Motion to exit, we've got, then I made a motion to enter, but it was actually motion to exit.
Right, motion to exit is the one that needs to have six yays.
But it also needs to have exit instead of enter.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Both motions to postpone need six.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you change both of them. Motion to approve is amended.
Summoned.
When you're ready.
Second.
Okay.
Whichever way you want to do that.
Motion by Congresswoman Whitehorn and seconded by Congresswoman Pratt. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the minutes from September 15th as amended, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, nay?
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed, nay? Any abstained? Minutes are approved. Looking at our agenda, we've got consideration of ONCA 16-103, an act to authorize and appropriate $1,250,000 to the Treasury for debt service payment on the campus master plan loan and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Maker is the sponsor, and you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, this is pretty much cut and dry, almost you might say, routine on the loan for the campus master plan. So this has been an ongoing debt service. It's I think it's just pretty much a self-explanatory.
If the committee wishes, I would make a motion to pass ONCA 16-103 out to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second. Motion made and seconded by Congresswomen Whitehorn and Pratt. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor of reporting out ONCA 103 with the due pass recommendation, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay, ONCA will be reported out tomorrow. The first time they reported something out of Appropriations Committee under select committees. Next is consideration of ONCA 16-105, an act to authorize and appropriate $100,000 to the capital asset improvement fund for design and sculpture of Chief Claremore to establish an alternate effective date. Likewise, Congressman Maker is the sponsor. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. This bill, although it does have a sizable appropriation, I think it is something that our nation needs. I was first approached by executive on this bill. They have, in fact, two statutes planned. The other one, not listed on here, is going to be in the future. I don't think it's part of this appropriation, though. But if you add information, you might say it's not your name, but it's for Chief Black Dog. So that was how it was proposed to me in the beginning. And the reason why they chose Chief Claremore is because in rank of chieftainship, Chief Claremore would be the first one to be after our esteemed chief.
Okay. Any questions for Congressman Maker regarding this bill? I have one. Someone else have one up there? Oh, Congressman, tell me. You go ahead. I'll hold.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if the intent of the nation is to someday have a statue of every chief. Is that what's we're going in some direction? We have one currently that I know of here. Is that correct? And then, so this would be number two. How many do we what we have to catch up? Be fair to, and how are these selected? How are these chosen? Is there a policy for that?
Congressman Baker.
At this time, Congressman, to answer your question, I have not been advised to any plans to erect statues to every former chief at this time. And I think what the notion is, or idea, is to just honor some of the great chiefs. Just, I mean, for instance, when you go to Washington, D.C., I don't think there's a statue to every former president. I know there's a statue to Harry Hall, notable leaders that have done great accomplishments in the past. Throughout the history of the United States government. So, if you go to Europe, there's a statue almost on every corner over there. But I think it's just something to honor some of our great leaders, and when we have visitors here to our great nation, it'd be something of interest. And I'll see this great statue of a great Osage leader, and I say, oh, wow, that's a great leader. And I think they have like a little history of something, about some of their accomplishments. Like, in, for instance, Chief Bickhart is in a most modern time chief that set up the 1906 very instrumental and set him up for the mineral state as it is today. And it was so sad that he passed away before he received his first individual check. So, anyway, I think I know this might be a little unpopular at this time in history because of the appropriation. As I suppose most of the total tied in for bills, what's going on in our nation now, to the single expansion. But I think it's something that could be very beneficial to our nation.
Congressman Whitehorn.
I like the question that Congressman Tillman asked. In my opinion, things that aren't planned can get pretty crazy, and I think that maybe a piece of legislation would be in order about beautification of campus or art on campus. I like that. I love the statue of Chief Goodhart. I'm very proud to have it. I think that we probably, it would be a good thing to have more to beautify. And I think it's a great idea, but the piecemealing of it gives me the willies a little bit without a plan to look at it. I think we could get really disjointed. And but I am for the beautification and for these beautiful statues. I just think an underlying plan for how it's going to happen, and that might be a legislative fix that this body could put out. I'd also like to say, I'm not a no vote on that right now, but I don't think we know enough where we are on just our regular operating budget issues to pass out additional initiatives at this point. I would be in favor of holding it here in this committee until we can kind of get to the bottom line number. So that's my opinion on your bill. I'm not opposed to it at all, Congressman Maker.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, I'm not opposed to beautification and recognition either. But I just had a couple of questions. First, you said that an executive approached you regarding this statue, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so did they not discuss a little further of what the plan is? I understand they were saying they want to honor leaders, but did they say that there's a direction that they're going in? There was a question from Congressman Maker. Can we add a little dialogue?
Yes. Respond, please.
The question, Congresswoman. No, they did not give me any plans or future plans of statues.
Just Claremore for now.
Claremore and Black Dog, two chance they
mentioned,
and they could have been Black Dog for it, but they agreed that, like I said, in order to be a chieftainship, Claremore was the main chief back in the day, and then Black Dog was a little more modern time. When you ever go through history, which I've done a lot of history of this, Claremore would be ranked to be first between the two.
Right, because then before when I thought about this, you know, I always thought it would be nice to have a client, you know, as well. So that's why I was just like, I mean, because we have, like, we've already started Big Heart regarding the Minerals Estate, you know, and Banker was a visionary and leader who led us here, you know, so where we are now. So that would be, I mean, that's one thing to think of as well.
That would be great. I too would love that.
So, but I just didn't want to, I mean, like I said, I'm for these things, but I just don't, we need a organization of it. And also, I guess another question would be, didn't they raise a fundraise for like at least 1 to 2 years for Chief Goodhart's statue? I remember they were selling tickets in the museum, and I'm pretty sure that they spoke about on the day of the unveiling that the Big Heart family descendants worked pretty hard at fundraising. I know they had a full suit that they were raffling at the museum at one time. So is there any, and I want to say they, oh, I would like a little more information, and I can commit to finding that if we're going to hold it for a while, how the fundraising of that, because I understand you're saying we got started with that. Well, we also got started with there being some fundraising as well, so we're just kind of following suit. So so I would like some more information on that, and then I believe I read somewhere that, you know, maybe there was this much raised, and then I want to say the Chiefs, well, I shouldn't say that because I'm not sure, I can't remember whatever it is, but I thought that some there was a some point, maybe the executive kind of kicked in at the end, you know, like maybe they fundraised this much and then they were lacking this much, so there was a little bit of a appropriation from a bull. I thought the chief's budget, and like I said, I probably shouldn't say that because I can't remember for sure, but I would like some follow-up with that, and I will look into that. So those are my comments for now.
Congressman Baker.
I think there's some great observations, and I also, I too will seek further information about fundraising and further future plans or more great leaders of our nation. To be a fire for the leaders.
Congresswoman.
If there's no more discussion on this for right now, I'd like to move that we postpone ONCA 16. 105 to call the chair.
Okay, is there a second? Mm-hmm. Okay. Once again, Congresswoman Whitemore and Pratt have moved and seconded to postpone ONCA 16-105 to call the chair. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, say yes.
Yes.
Any
yes.
Opposed, say nay. Passed one out, postponed, now we're to a 7. Bring that up here. ONCA 16-107, an act to establish the Osage Nation Retained Revenue Fund and to provide an alternate effective date. I don't know if everyone has that handy. I think I've got a copy here and I have it up on my iPad.
Title and act. This act may be cited as the Osage Nation Return Revenue Fund Act. Section 2, Findings and Purposes. The Osage Nation Congress finds it important to retain a portion of the Osage Nation's annual revenue to be appropriated by the Osage Nation Congress for the purpose of meeting future unmet financial needs of the nation. B. The purpose of this act is to protect the fiscal solvency and delivery of revenues to the nation. And C, the Osage Nation Congress further finds that the continued flow of gaming and tax revenue is not guaranteed and that it is prudent and sensible to set aside a portion of all money received from the Osage Nation sources now and in the future to ensure the availability of necessary monies to help the Osage Nation in future years. Moving on to Section 3, Establishment, Funding, and Maintenance. A. There is hereby established a retained revenue fund not subject to fiscal year limitation to be administered by the treasurer of the Osage Nation. B. The retained revenue fund shall be funded by tribal carryover funds from the previous fiscal year as reported by the treasurer of the Osage Nation. C. 50% of the tribal carryover funds, or $1 million, whichever amount is larger, shall be deposited into the retained revenue fund annually on or before October 31st. D. The funds deposited in the retained revenue fund shall be invested in accordance with the approved investment policy of the Osage Nation, and all interest and dividends derived from the retained revenue fund investment shall be deposited in the general fund in the Treasury. E. Expenditures out of the retained revenue fund are prohibited. F. The Osage Nation Congress shall appropriate at its discretion out of the retained revenue fund for the benefit of the Osage Nation. Appropriations out of the retained revenue fund shall require a supermajority of 8 affirmative votes in favor of the appropriation, and then it has the normal severability clause and alternate effective date. Thank you for indulging me in that.
Thank you for reading that. Bill that together with the City Council crafted last month, but I like the way it sounded coming from you.
Thank you.
Very nice. You might vote no on it, but you still read it very
no,
nice.
I support this legislation.
Well, you know, here's how this the notion of this type of legislation came to me.
Please relinquish the position of chair.
Thank you.
Vice chair.
I believe in the position of chair, the vice chairwoman. Thank you. That's your job, right?
It is her job, and I like that she does it well. Yes, I will act as chair since it is your bill, and I'm glad that we're all straight now. Congressman Shaw, thank you for letting me read your bill, and now you can discuss your bill with us. And we
it's
are
a team approach.
For the public's notice, we are on bill number ONCA 16107.
Well, the notion came as, you know, ever since April, I've been waiting on whatever the tribal carryover funds, that is unexpended funds from FY 2015. My understanding is that I believe it might have even been the first year that it was the first spring of the Congress that an amount was reported out earlier, and in previous years that amount was reported out by the Treasurer earlier. And in fact, appropriations out of that amount were made in the HUNCA session in the spring. But at least for the last 1 to 2 years, the former treasurer chose to report that out after the annual audit was reported. We'd received it. That typically is late June. And so this year, the report came maybe about the second week of July, maybe July 15th, that we got an official report from the treasurer. Later, we discussed in the Appropriations Committee, had to come back in to answer some questions about that amount. I believe the questions were answered to our satisfaction, and we found out that we had $2.9 million in tribal carryover funds. Again, these are tribal funds. And so the notion of, well, gee, what do we do with $2.9 million, or for whatever amount it is, $5 or $5 million, if it's sizable, rather than our typical response, when you're, as a congressperson that legislates and tries to fund projects of high merit, one consideration is, well, what can that be spent on? Nothing wrong with that. It's certainly legal and ethical. There are funds available to us. But another approach would be, we need to put away some money, because if we have interruption to our gaming revenue or any of our other revenues, we're going to be hurting. If a tornado hits the Tulsa casino and they're out of business for 3 to 6 months, it's going to be catastrophic. And and we get $3,333,000 a month is how our distribution from gaming comes. And you know, even for personal income, most experts recommend you should keep 3 to 6 months of expenses, you know, in an account, just in case you're disabled or you lose a job or something, you've got some money to live on for a while. Well, that seemed like a reasonable goal for the Osage Nation, and it scared me last, was it earlier this year in the spring, or last fall, we were at one day when his figures were moving, our available unencumbered revenue was 100,000 or less. It was a moving figure at the time, and one day, if I'm not mistaken, it might have been 20,000, which is just, there were some unexpected things, but we should be able to weather those or have a plan for those unexpected revenues and not get down that low or have a fund to fall back on, not let our unencumbered money in the bank, essentially. I realize that's not the same as money in the bank, but the former treasurer straightened us out on that. But it's a lot, for you and I, that's the best frame of reference for us, money in the bank you can spend. And so this was this legislation's way to establish a fund that would be a little harder to get, needing a supermajority. You need 8 instead of 7 votes that could be accessed by the Congress specifically for those unexpected contingencies. You know, a major bill that came due. You know, about 2.5 years ago, we had a federal grant, and I believe our domestic violence program, that at one time we were asked to repay $300,000. And back then, that was going to be a strain on the available income. I think we need to have the liquidity to have a fund to draw on for those and not let our balance, our unencumbered monies, to get that low. And so we have to start somewhere. And where can that money come from? Well, I say carryover tribal funds. Now, they may not always be 2.9 million. It might be 0.9 million next year. And so the amounts that I had come up with was a million or 50%, not the entire amount. I thought about that at one time, but I thought, well, you know, there may be some other uses for that money. Maybe we do need to look at using it for projects, but some portion of it every year automatically goes into a retained revenue fund. And so that was the thought, as a way to establish a rainy day fund. I've talked with our budget analyst about it. He's had some other ideas about certain financial predicaments have to be in place before you can access it. I don't have that in here, something that this committee could consider, something that perhaps the budget analyst could share with us if the committee wants to hear that. But give us a set-aside cushion. They can't be used to fund other programs unless with a supermajority vote. So that's my explanation and presentation. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Congressman Shaw. Is there any questions or thoughts about this bill? Mr. Potts, yes.
Thank you, Congressman. Potential hazard that I might want to warn the committee about in Section C, it says 50% of the tribal carryover funds or $1 million, whichever amount is larger, shall be deposited into the retained revenue fund annually on or before October 31st. The reason I caution with that type of language, and Trey might be able to speak a little bit more accurately to that, I think the individual that would deposit that would be the treasurer or the controller, perhaps, and potentially something to the effect of that money shall be appropriated to the retained revenue fund on or before October 31st. That way, in no way can it be seen, perceived, guessed, accused, anything where that's directing somebody to deposit that amount, one, to determine that amount, 50% or $1 million, and then to deposit that. I think if you were to use language similar to appropriate to, that still leaves it clearly in the hands of Congress to, one, determine that amount and appropriate the money from that carryover to the retained revenue fund. So something to think about there. I just want to lay that on the table, something that came across my mind upon reading it.
Congressman Shaw?
Give me a worst-case scenario with the current language of the situation and a potential unintended consequence.
The worst-case scenario, and what I thought of immediately, was the Supreme Court case where we, through legislation, directed the treasurer to determine the amount of raises contained in the appropriation bills and then return that money to the general treasury. And I believe that kind of got us. There is some language in the treasury bill that clearly, I mean, it's an iffy situation.
Section 13 of Article 6 clearly states the treasurer shall accept receipt for, keep, and safeguard all tribal funds as directed by the Congress, and shall maintain and provide an accurate record of such funds. So I know that it was a part and parcel of that Supreme Court opinion, but constitutional language very clearly states. But I don't think it would change the meaning of that anymore to put in appropriate to instead of shall deposit. Yes, please.
I wholeheartedly agree with the Treasury bill. Just wanted to lay that on the table to kind of state, just in case somebody were to have some type of argument against that, the language of, you know, the 50% or $1 million shall be deposited, I would prefer that the Congress still clearly state who's in control of the direction of the money. That's just my two cents on that piece of legislation. I don't think it necessarily negatively impacts the bill, but to clearly state the intent of Congress, I think, would be something that might help you all in this situation.
Thank you.
Let me just ask a quick question.
Yes, Congressman Shaw, then.
Mr. Potts mentioned appropriating the money to the fund. The current bill language talks about depositing the money to the fund, and it would be appropriated later on by the Congress, so it's sort of set aside So I guess I'm interested in what the significance of it is, because, you know, once money's appropriated, my concern is that it's more accessible. It's not as protected once it's appropriated, whereas if it's just deposited and hasn't been appropriated yet, it can't be spent yet by anyone but the Congress and an appropriation.
That's some good thinking there. I like that. I have Congressman Maker and then I have Congressman Norris.
Okay, yeah, well, my question is kind of basic. Now, this is a new fund, right? And have we been depositing money in this fund already? This is a new thing. It sounds to me like if we're establishing the amount to 50% or a million dollars, it's larger. To me, that sounds like this is a brand new fund.
It is.
Now, don't we have to have that established first before we can put money in to something? This establishes it and
right.
Gives the policy how much goes in.
Section 3 does establish a retained revenue fund.
Okay.
Okay.
And I would like to ask Mr. Corbin what his views on this is.
Mr. Corbin? And then it's going to be Mr. Norris's turn.
Well, I'd like to commend the author of this bill for thinking in this aspect, because the nations always took the aspect of appropriating 100% of what they had. And more you rely on projected fees, program income, and things like that, a year in advance, the more you could be susceptible of not receiving that full amount. In your county government, you're only allowed to appropriate 85% of your ad valorem tax base. That remaining 15% is held aside because you may not collect those taxes. In the same aspect, your revenue projection of X amount of dollars and those from program and fees and other than your gaming are merely projections. And I've always felt that some of them were slightly inflated. And I think this is a very good move. And because what if you reached a time in the year that their fees were a shortfall? Well, do you want to set that program down? Do you want to be able to pull from this reserve to fund it to the end of the year? So I think it's a good program, a good bill to pass. I really do. You're using good business sense. But you can't, you know, on a projection, you can't, in all honesty, it's not going to be 100%. Sometimes it might be above, but it's probably going to be below more than it is above. So you need to retain some cushion to fund you when they don't reach that full 100% amount.
Thank you, Mr. Corbin.
Yes, ma'am.
Congressman Morris.
Question. I've got several questions here. The first one is how did you arrive at the 50%? As a retainer, and I can understand, you know, let's use $1 million. Okay, that's very clear. But then how did you come by 50%, not 25% or 75%? To me, you know, or was 50% just a number or a percent picked out of the air?
My percentage came from the fact that I wasn't sure whether my colleagues on this committee or for that Congress were willing to set aside the entire amount. I had to look ahead thinking that while it probably makes the best fiscal sense to put the whole amount in there to get so we can get a sizable stockpile of possible rescue cash in the future, I have to establish an amount I think that I can interest my colleagues in. And so I didn't do 100%. I wouldn't argue with 100%, but But for example, this year, I'd like to ask my colleagues if they believe, take this, that if it passed as is, whether it would start with this year's carryover. If it did, and what we say it was, 2.9, say it was 3, that'd be 1.5 million for the initial deposit to that account. If the amount was under 2 million, it would be a million of it. So whichever one was larger. Or I should say, if the upside of 2 million, because 50% of that would be, if it was only a million, it would be 500,000, so the whole amount would go. And I wouldn't argue if someone else wanted to take a larger amount, but I also know that my colleagues may have other legislation to make one. The rest of the 50%.
Tim, just if I was sitting out there in the audience listening, is this kind of like a permanent fund that's being created, a mini permanent fund or whatever you want to call it? We're using it for services in case we have a catastrophe, so we don't get any gaming money or whatever in the operation. And we have that permanent fund set aside also, the $30 million for direct services in case something happens that we have to continue operations. But are we kind of creating a mini permanent fund? Is that what this is?
This has some of the features of a permanent fund, but it doesn't have the restriction to be spent on direct services. Remember, the permanent fund is for direct services only because we felt like I'm thinking back to when this that was passed. At a minimum, we want to be able to provide direct services to people, health benefit, scholarship, burial assistance, other constituent services. We wanted that protected. But there are other contingencies that can affect us paying a grant back for some disallowed costs, an unexpected assessment for a bill or for repairs that we hadn't thought. Remember a couple of years ago when the nation was going to take over the landlordship of the central services, we were told it was going to be $1 million to re-roof that building, and we were all going, "Where's that coming from?" And that wouldn't have come out of the permanent. Yet if that we're going to continue to be a landlord for that building and the Congress agreed, we're going to have to come up with $1 million somewhere for that if we wanted to re-roof it, keep that building occupied. I'm just using that as an example. So it's expanded beyond direct service. I would think that this would be used more for non-direct services or other than direct services. This could go for that. You could use it for direct services.
I just wanted to.
But it also requires a supermajority. I don't know that that's required for the direct. I mean, the permanent fund.
It is, and I had that researched, and it is not.
I just wanted to, if I was sitting out there listening, to understand that this is either like it or it's not like it. Explain the third one.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Where are these funds now? Just sitting in?
The general treasury.
In the general treasury. Is that any? Which, if you could get. I'm going for the whole amount, just to say, you know. But if we put it in this retained revenue fund, is this an interest-bearing account?
I believe that the legislation sets up. Okay.
So, and that amount is established by current rates.
There is an investment policy in the Treasury, so okay. I would follow the investment policy of the Treasurer of how they would invest those funds.
Well, I think it's very wise. I think it's very wise that we sometimes get out of spending mode and get into saving mode. I just think it's an astute direction of the committee, and I would like to see us go from more than half of a million, go for all of it. And so we'll know 2016, next July.
Well,
Our
carryover, I believe, is 2 points.
In 2016. We won't know 2016 until.
No, right.
Okay. Does this also ratchet up the way programs now start budgeting. Because if we're gonna take it and throw it in here, depending on what's over there, you know where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'd like to respond to kind of some of that comment. I know that this appropriations committee during the HUNCA session, was I in the committee now? I don't think so. But they made a recommendation to Congress to hold back 4%? 4% of 4 million of projected revenue?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
But all this committee can do is recommend. And it's nothing set in law. And I busted through that recommendation and I set some 2 million of that 4 million aside in an economic development fund. And I haven't worked on the legislation yet, but I would support doing 100%. And then when I get the economic development fund bill followed up, then maybe we could amend this and do a split between putting money in this fund and an economic development fund. I talked to the sponsor, Congressman Shaw, and I don't think he would be opposed to amending that at a later time, but I'm all for, I like the idea of 100%. But, and then when it's decided that we need to appropriate out of that fund, we could do so if we had a need other than direct services. I had a couple of questions too. Is there any other committee member that would like to speak right now, and I'll ask my questions later? Where was it? I had a little note here. Okay, I wanted to cover that the appropriation recommendation really didn't hold water. We have the ability to blow through that if we want to.
For good reason.
It was a good reason, yeah. But we can, and we can choose not to listen to it at all and appropriate it on something silly if we want to. I'm curious to know if on where we establish, where you're talking about the fund, the retained revenue fund shall be funded by the tribal carryover funds from the previous fiscal years reported by the treasurer of the Osage Nation. I'm wondering if we might need some language there upon completion of the annual audit. The treasurer would just kind of give us a quick figure and tell us in the HUNCA session what she thought we had to appropriate, and we just appropriate it before the audit was complete. And I think that you need to wait till that audit's complete to really have an accurate figure, so I'm wondering if we might need to put some amending language in there, and then would that be the proper language?
As determined as a result of the annual audit.
What do you think about that, Congressman Shaw?
I like it. Mm-hmm. It could be a real problem if the new treasurer reported it out earlier, chose to report it earlier before the audit. Number was different after the audit. And we generally say, well, it usually doesn't change, but it could. Then it'd be messy.
Right. And so I think that we really need to put that in there to have a definitive number. And then another question that I wanted to ask was on Section C. Are we thinking about going to 100%? Does 50% give, does that language, does a percentage language give you any heartburn whatsoever? It doesn't me, but does it anybody else? Does it give our legal counsel heartburn to use a percentage there?
Another way to word that is an amount equal to, it wouldn't be a sum certain, it never can be a change of the year. An amount equal to that reported by the treasurer representing the tribal carryover funds from the previous fiscal year as determined by the result of the annual audit of the Osage Nation. So you're not using percentages, it's still not a certain figure, but you're basically saying it's going to match with the report that he gives us. It's just another way, just a suggestion. It may not be any clearer.
Okay. I was just curious, Congresswoman Pratt.
So, did Trey have any issue? I mean,
no, he didn't.
He did, obviously he didn't, if he let 50% go, so it's the same thing, it's still a percentage, so why not change, just change it to 100? I mean, it's that simple. If he didn't have a problem with 50, then he wouldn't have a problem with 100. Still a percentage, so. Okay.
So, the amendment would look something like 100%, he'll strike 50%, and put in 100% parathetic, the tribal caregiver funds shall be deposited in the retained. No, as determined.
As determined, as a result of the annual audit, shall be deposited.
There you go.
I was getting that, and then prepared, but I was wondering, does it need to, anything, is that the only paragraph that would appear in, or would it be B also?
I was thinking it should have been B, that language, the language we discussed previously.
Well, that's why I almost was like two, or both, or just, okay, if it can just be put in B, then. You and I were reading it the same way.
I thought it could just be put in B, and then on C, you would change 50% to 100% and strike the $1 million.
Okay, shall be funded. Give me a second.
You just have following the annual audit.
From the previous year.
This is what I was thinking. On B, just after it says, as reported by the treasurer of the Osage Nation upon completion of the annual audit. On B, it just put that there.
That's good language.
And then on C, you just strike 50%, but 100%,
right.
And then strike from or $1 million.
Right.
And whichever amount is larger.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Right. So I like that. Upon completion.
I think I have written.
Upon completion.
That's what's wrong.
All right.
That's
okay. Okay.
All right. Ready? I am ready. Congresswoman Pratt. All
right. Page two. Line 48. After nation, insert upon completion of the annual audit. Period.
Does she need to say after nation, strike the period, or are you okay with not striking the period?
Why don't you just not put the period at the end if it's already there?
After nation, I don't say it.
I did. I said after nation, insert upon completion of the annual audit. Line 50, strike 50% in the parentheses and insert 100% with the, what's the parenthetical percentage? After funds, still on line 50, after funds, strike or $1 million and its parenthetical amount, whichever amount is larger.
Second to the amendment. And a second. Now we're in discussion to the proposed amendment. Is everybody clear on what it does? Congressman Lewis.
Okay, essentially every dollar we get is carryover funds. It's going into this. Every dollar that is carryover funds goes into this account. That's why I'm here.
Yes.
Okay. So we have 100% carryover from last year. so there is no, you know, the 50% was a compromise, and I heard Mr. Corbin say, you know, what was it, the state or?
County government,
85%.
That's what they're allowed to appropriate.
Okay.
Of the ad valorem base, because you don't know how much you're going to collect in taxes. So they use the 15% as a cushion to, you know, expend it 100%, and whatever you didn't receive in taxes, you're going to be at a shortfall.
Okay.
So through calculations over the years, they came to the 85% figure of the projected ad valorem tax revenue for the county, which in some counties, you're talking lots of money. Very considerable figure.
Mr. Potts?
Just wanted to clarify on what Mr. Corbin said. That would be essentially compared to our projected revenue. So we would only appropriate up to 85% of our projected revenue. The state of Oklahoma does something very similar, where they only appropriate X of what the Board of Equalization says. But this money that's returned from the carryover is a set aside audited amount. That's not a projection at that point. The auditing firm has determined at that point that these are the funds that are remaining. So you have 100% of those to appropriate available. So that's not, there's no real need to apply an 85% or anything to that. Those funds have been audited, they're available to the nation.
Mr. Corbin?
The only thing I would, in your bill, I define what you mean by carryover, because as you know, when you get into a legal situation, you're going to have everybody's opinion, but in mine, it's the unexpended appropriated funds at the end of the fiscal year as determined by your external auditor. Do you agree, Mr. Potts?
So your previous fiscal year, yeah?
Yes.
Do we have any more discussion to the motion, to the amendment? The amendment right now. Are we ready to vote on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment say yes.
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 Are there any opposed? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Okay, we're still in discussion on the main bill though. Congressman Shaw.
Just trying to look at some language on B to further describe tribal carryover funds. Is another way of saying that tribal funds unexpended from the previous fiscal year? Would that be adequate, do you think?
Congressman
Maynard. As I recall, when Mr. Cobb, the president were here, they did say that there was another term that they used other than carry.
Yes, you're correct about that, but I think that's a pretty good explanation. And we might remember we should probably amend that into the definitions bill, so it'll be the official term we use. So you're writing a definition now, Congressman Shaw. Any more discussion, Congresswoman Pratt?
I don't know if everybody else was in Appropriations Committee before when we kind of. I think we kind of discussed this, for instance, when we talked about taking all of the gaming revenue and bringing them over to the Congress, the nation, but we did discuss taking all of the gaming revenue and having a supermajority in what to do with those funds, you know, having that when we brought all of the gaming revenue over. So, I mean, I just find this very similar to that, and I just think it's good, and I would be in favor of having that further discussion for your economic
development fund.
Fund, yes.
Yes.
So, I do support this.
I think we're working on an amendment right now.
what I have. I've got a page 2, line 46, strike carryover, and after funds, insert unexpended. So then it would read, the retained revenue fund to be funded by tribal funds unexpended from the previous fiscal year, reported by the treasurer of the Osage Nation. One question I might add, do we need to further characterize the term tribal funds? We've got them as unexpended from the previous fiscal year. Do we need to say appropriated tribal funds, or is that unnecessary language?
Congress, Mr. Potts, is tribal funds defined in the definition bills currently? Yes, please, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure that tribal funds is. Clearly, it would be restricted to tribal funds that could be deposited. That's all that you have of a carryover. You can't take federal dollars and put it in here. I would need to confer with the auditor or with our auditor how they classify what we consider program income or program revenue going in. The new definition does count that as tribal projected revenue. And I believe that the auditing firm already considers that tribal dollars. So if a program were to exceed their projection, I believe that's held in the treasury. But I would want to confirm with the auditor on that. And I think Kelly might be able to answer that. I think it's already considered tribal dollars.
Program revenue that's over.
Oh, you're talking about the revenue generated by
over collected.
Yes.
That's okay. Tribal funds.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I believe just the wording of tribal funds, if the auditors already considered it that way, which I thought they did, that's all that could be available, and that is the carryover amount that's currently identified by the auditor.
Any more discussion to this bill? Well, I didn't entertain some information on it. Congresswoman Pratt.
I'm not voting on this amendment.
Okay. Thank you so much for keeping me in line. Is there any more discussion?
I'm sorry, I'm being grumpy.
Was that in the form of a motion,
yes.
Congressman?
Well, no, it wasn't.
No,
the motion.
Wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I guess I was floating it out there.
That's quite all right.
I move that we amend ONCA 16109 the following. Page 2, line 46, strike
107.
107.
There you go.
Yes, there you go. Okay. 16107, the following. Page 2, line 46, strike the term carryover. And after the word funds, insert unexpended.
There was a motion.
Second.
Now we have a second. Congressman Shaw, would you please read us again how it's going to read with that amendment in there?
I believe it will read, the retained revenue fund shall be funded by the tribal funds unexpended from the previous fiscal year as reported by the treasurer of the Osage Nation upon completion of the annual audit.
That sounds great. Is there any discussion to the motion? All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Seeing none, the motion passes. Congresswoman Pratt.
I move to report Bill ONC 16107 to the Congress of the passed with the
have a motion. Is there a
second?
A second from Congressman Maker. Is there any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, question is, shall the motion pass? All in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. And we will report that out to Congress with the House recommendation. We have reached the end of the agenda, and I will turn the meeting back over to Chairman Shaw.
Speaker Mason.
Yeah, just an announcement, and not only just for this committee, but for all of our members and Mr. Corbin as well. And our clerk of the Congress can help me on that date. We do have a presentation next week, and I believe it's Thursday, 22nd, from our annual auditors. They'll be presenting us. BDK, I believe, is here.
Thank you. Can
Proceed.
I'm really missing working off of the grid page as we pass bills out to know what's being acted, and I think we have in a little I'm not sure that we're straight on projected revenue right now, and I'm curious to know, are we going to address that soon to get it straightened out? I just really like to work off that active grid page to know where we are.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, but my understanding is the last time we discussed it, there was going to be some research on changing definitions to be able to leave other out of the projected revenue figure.
So I know I had a solid page.
Program other.
Right. Did I give that solutions page back to you?
Have another copy.
Thank you. Would you please just skip to the solution page?
Mr. Chair, to skip to the conclusions page. You either need to draft a new 2017 annual projected revenue resolution, which you currently have, that includes IDC and the revenue projections, which will count IDC as additional revenue, which is something that some members had preferred not to do, or amend ONCA 1652 to remove other sources from the definition of tribal projected revenue, and also ONCA 1652 states that revenue must be listed as a funding source. So that's the definition that's getting you all hung up. So through working with the chair, there are some definitions that can be changed to either fix that or work on
it simple when we can. I mean, sometimes there isn't a simple fix. Sometimes it can be complex. Some people would say yet another bill would be complicated, but it sounds like the amendments to 1652 are not extensive. Taking other?
Correct. I believe that would fix it. I would love to have some members of Congress double check that, but that appears to be one of the main issues. But you would also need to, at some point, go through and remove IDC as a funding source for ONCA 1485. However, you currently have an active piece of legislation that would repeal 1485. So it's kind of all up in the air. And I'm not sure how it's all going to land right now.
So, that leads me into the conversation that I want to have. I think it's just, I'll keep it to this. I think it's very important that we get that definitions bill passed through this committee and out on the floor, because I would prefer to have that be the solution.
Okay.
And I'm sure that, I don't know if it fell, I can't remember the history of it. Did it fail Congress or was it vetoed?
Pocket
vetoed it, then in order to get this number changed, so we'll be operating under a correct projected revenue resolution, I think that the definitions bill needs to take precedent. I mean, there's just so many moving parts in this session.
I understand. I don't disagree with you at all.
And I would just like to
Monday, we have a one-hour HR presentation. Do have the definitions bill also on the agenda.
Can we commit to review the definitions bill as individuals so it won't take
about tomorrow
a long time? I'm just talking about on an individual basis instead of coming to the table.
I've reviewed it, but yeah, you're right. It's 13 pages you need to review.
Because I really loved how we were able just to pass out a couple of these bills quick and maybe get that going onto the floor on Monday.
Okay.
Because I really miss my grid and our numbers are off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Pretty good. Chair, we entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Any opposed? To adjourn.
Thank you.
Can you sign it?
Maybe we got two.
I wasn't here for that.
Oh, you weren't?
Okay.
Oh,
you're done.